This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, The Curious Science of Humans at War. We'll talk with Mary Roach about her new book, Grunt. Starting us off this afternoon, while the number of women in leadership positions in government and corporate America has increased since the 1960s, a Pew Research Center report says women still make up less than a quarter of lawmakers at the federal and state levels, and just under 6% of chief executives in Fortune 500 companies. Next week, the Northern Kentucky Chamber presents the 2017 Women's Initiative Regional Summit. The annual meeting is an opportunity for women in Northern Kentucky and Greater Cincinnati to network while learning leadership strategies. And joining us to discuss women in leadership positions are Northern Kentucky Chamber Women's Initiative Summit Chair Laura Cook Crager, owner and president of Communications Project Partner, Vice Chair Shelley Funky Frommeyer, a financial advisor with Waddell & Reed Incorporated, and Veer Communications Counselor Pepper Peel, one of the presenters at this year's summit. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Pepper, Shelley, and Laura, thank you so much for being here this afternoon.
Thanks for having us. Good to see everybody.
Thank you.
Pepper, let's start off with, you hear those Pew statistics, and obviously women in leadership positions is better than it was, say, 4 or 5 decades ago.
Sure.
But when you hear those Pew statistics, you realize there's still a lot of work to be done.
I think that's a great way to put it. The work isn't done yet. I think that when you look at the numbers of women who attend colleges across the board, no matter what college they go to, there are more women as students than there are men. And so what's happening to them? That funnel has gotten wider for women. There are more of us who are college educated. But how come we're not making it to the top rung of that ladder? And I think efforts like the Northern Kentucky Women's Initiative are great ways to speak to that, because the only way to solve a problem is to talk about it. And I do consider it a problem. I do consider it something to be solved, something to be fixed. And I'm not blaming the men. I think it's something that as everyone does better, all the boats rise.
Yeah, and Laura, you do have to wonder, women making up more than half the workforce, you have to wonder why they still are in a low number of leadership positions.
Yeah, it's interesting because, 10 million women also own businesses. So when we looked at the surveys after our first inaugural summit, we realized that we did have some more work to do. And we were hearing from women saying, we need to know more about confidence. We need to know how to work our way around a boardroom. There's a lot of different things, and that's why, we're talking with Pepper about networking, because it's sometimes scary to go into a room. You don't know anybody. You don't know what to do. So this is a way for women at all career stages to hone in on their skills and make sure that they could do the best that they could possibly be.
And I do think that early on, maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago, when women were entering the workforce in droves, I think that someone who was seen as driven, purposeful, as really good at networking, that we didn't even have that as a verb yet to network, I think that women then were seen as less friendly, less likable. There's been some research to that recently, that even though there are...
A word I hate. They're pushy.
They're pushy. And I would have even thought of a different word, but I won't say it. Those are the words that people use for successful women. And it doesn't mean that you can't be likable and successful. Those two words are not mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Shelley, what do you see as being some of the obstacles and challenges to women attaining more leadership roles?
Certainly, as a financial advisor, this is one of the industries that has the least number of women per professional as many other professional organizations. So as a financial advisor, I'm very excited to participate in the Women's Initiative. Northern Kentucky Chamber recognized, the president brought it to the women's attention in Northern Kentucky, that we need a more intentional approach to elevate the women in leadership. So this is nearly an 8-year undertaking now with the Women's Initiative, and the vision is to be the premier organization for Northern Kentucky and Greater Cincinnati for professional women. And it's, Laura said, of all career stages. One of the programs that has come out of the Women's Initiative is the mentoring program. We're finding a lot of interest in that. Many organizations like Citibank have mentoring programs, but in fact, they don't necessarily want to be mentored by another professional in their own company. Perhaps they want to become a financial advisor and they might be mentored by someone outside of Citi or some of our large organizations. Yet Citi's done such a great job with their women's group. So they're participants as well in the emerging leadership side, but they've also had some of their senior level women, and you'll see them at our summit next week as well. So the Women's Initiative has created the ability to elevate outside of your own organization, networking opportunities. I don't know the answer to your question, but I think we're on to something by creating an atmosphere for more leadership opportunities and more networking.
Do you think it's important for women who have a lot of experience in their careers to mentor the next generation of women who are coming into the workforce?
I do. And when you say more experience, that could be a woman with 5 years out of college going back to Gateway Community Technical College, supporting some of the administrative students. That could be a woman with 10 years experience going to NKU's business school, mentoring one of the business school students. And then that could be me, you know, 23 years work experience mentoring, as well as Laura, we'll say a good amount of experience, 30 plus Laura, in different industries. And Laura's one of our mentors. So we lean on her to mentor people at all career stages as well.
Yeah, I'll stay at that 30 mark.
And I also say, too, that I think teaching women to be mentors like a 360, because younger women are coming out of school and working those first jobs for a few years, and they are learning skills that somebody 15, 20 years into their career don't know, predominantly the tech world. So to allow for that teaching up, if you will, to allow for those younger people to add value to an older person's career is really valuable both directions. It does not, mentoring isn't what it used to be, sort of this older person around their arm around their shoulder teaching. It's really collaborative, and that is valuable for everybody.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective that can go the other way. And I know my case, I'm not the most technical person around, and sometimes I will turn to younger people for advice on how to work technology.
Right. And you get better because you learn something new. But I do think there's something that grows a young woman to be able to teach, that it is a great skill. It teaches that person to be a wonderful manager later.
Right. It's putting them into a leadership role is
absolutely
what it's doing.
Absolutely.
Well, and many of us who have gone through this mentoring, where I have been a mentor for three different young women, some ways they've taught me more than I've taught them. And one of the hallmarks of Libby Gill, who was our keynote speaker for the summit, mm-hmm. is lift as you climb. And she was one of the first in the United States to start writing about how it is our duty to help those who are coming after us to be mentored and cherished. And she's going to be talking about that a lot at our summit. I think she's written it in several books that she'll be signing too.
And Libby Gill is a pretty remarkable example of somebody who's been through a lot and yet she's succeeded.
Yeah. And what I love about that is we can all relate to this. I mean, she went through alcoholism, you know, family of divorce, households going from household to household. And she rose above it and worked for some really key companies in Los Angeles, and now her client list is like to die for. I mean, she's working with Nike and Oracle and Microsoft and PayPal. I could go on and on. Yet she has this humility about her that draws us to her as a person and as a speaker, and I think that's why we're kind of excited to have her. She's not in this white ivory tower above us. She's one of us.
Laura, can you talk some about how the Women's Initiative got its start? It's what, 9 years it's been at this point?
Almost, yeah. Okay. I was in that room at Toyota in 2005, I think it was, where we gathered and said, okay, we have this challenge. What are we going to do? And soon our trademark moniker was connect, you know, grow and achieve. And we centered all our programming around that, and we said, okay, we are going to do one thing is we're not going to fail. Too many women's groups get all excited, and they just do one thing, and they keep doing that. So we decided to evolve. We had done all these things, and it was at the end of my tenure, I had the privilege of chairing the Women's Initiative and said, okay, what do we do for the next level? And we said unanimously, we need to have a significant conference so that women of all ages and all career stages can come together and learn from each other. And so that's what we've done, is in taking it to the next level. Now, what the next level after this will be, good question.
Well, and this is the second year for the summit.
Yep,
right?
Second year.
Okay. How did the first year go? What kind of response did you get to that?
We had over 300 women for the first one. And on the survey, we said, okay, should we do this annually? Should we, you know, every other year? Unanimous. Everybody said, seize the momentum. You got to keep doing this. You have to do it every year. So we said, yeah, we hear you. We're going to do it. And we planned our speakers, like the kind of stuff that Pepper's talking about, based on those surveys. We wanted to be very diligent about what our women were saying.
What's fantastic is that really builds upon some of the pillars that Laura helped create 9 years ago, the connect, the grow, and achieve. With the grow portion of the women's initiative, there is a breakfast that will occur in January. There is a professional series that will occur in March, and that's the start of the day. It's a breakfast that only will go about 45 minutes of an educational topic and time to network for about 30 minutes. And then we'll do that again in the fall. So we have a very small miniature version of the summit twice a year, and then another connection just for breakfast interaction, great speaker that we had over 700 attendees this past January. So we'll anticipate 850 this coming next January. That's open to men as well, but the topic is meant to be very professionally driven towards the women in the audience and to continue to elevate them towards leadership.
Mm-hmm. How much of an impact do you think last year's summit had?
Oh, judging by the surveys, huge. People's, you know, because one of the questions was, would you return? Absolutely. And we had heard things like, you know, it really filled up my tank. I have things I'm immediately going to take to the office and use. You know, that's the kind of stuff you want to hear. And then there were some suggestions, and that was, how do we involve the younger women? So what we're going to do this year is have students from local colleges, and they're going to be the ones who are going to introduce the breakout speakers. So before Pepper starts her session, she's going to have a gal from NKU give her bio and all the other things you need, and she'll sit in there and listen and have kind of a leadership role of, you know, being the session leader.
Yeah, that's a great experience. You're putting them out front.
Exactly, exactly, because we have a duty. We feel like, okay, we don't want to keep preaching to the same people. You know, we're preaching to the converted. What do we do for the next generation? And that's our key. That's our next step. What's the next generation?
And we'll continue our conversation. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and joining us to discuss women in leadership positions are Northern Kentucky Chamber Women's Initiative Summit Chair Laura Cook Krager, owner and president of Communications Project Partner, Vice Chair Shelley Funky Frommeyer, a financial advisor with Waddell & Reed, and Veer Communications Counselor Pepper Peel, one of the presenters at this year's summit. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Pepper, how do you think this area does in terms of creating opportunities for leadership for women?
I think great. I think that the city is one, and I'll even say the region, is one that really does foster entrepreneurism. And I think I don't know the statistics or can't quote them chapter and verse, but women are trying to start their own thing. They are hanging out a shingle. They are trying in ways that historically haven't really happened. And this city welcomes that. We have that sort of entrepreneurial spirit as a group. And so that then I think is something that can be fostered to individuals.
Mm-hmm. So that entrepreneurial spirit benefits women as well as men.
I absolutely think so. It goes both ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, Shelley, what do you think about this area in terms of how it does in putting women in these leadership roles?
It's amazing to me. In 1991, I graduated from the University of Kentucky and was shipped out to California to work for BP Oil. So I worked in the oil business for the first 9 years of my career, but not in this area, not in Northern Kentucky. It wasn't until I moved back to this area in 1998 did I actually operate here as a professional? And I joined the Chamber of Commerce in 2003 and really had my eyes open. What a wonderful place this is to do business, wonderful place to raise your children. But we had a tremendous number of women in leadership. Helen Carroll, I believe, was the incoming chairperson for the chamber sometime around there, 2003, 2004. She was with Toyota. And it was such a great eye-opener to me that here are some powerful, strong women making a significant difference. The Northern Kentucky Chamber, in my opinion, has epitomized the leadership through their own hiring of their employees, through their own elevation of people into the chairperson role. This year, we have Rhonda Whitaker from Duke Energy as our incoming chair for the Northern Kentucky Chamber. So when I look at that and spread that across the business community in Northern Kentucky and Cincinnati, and of course, our Cincinnati Chamber president, Jill Meyer, is a chair, is a woman, and has also spoke at our chamber in Northern Kentucky, and that continues to recognize and elevate that women have a place. And it's not just women. It's the person that's best suited for the position. It just happens to be, it's women quite often, and there are wonderful men that are very successful. So the Women's Initiative is not an anti-men program. It's very much about a promoting strength, leadership skills, and a supportive environment so that women are recognizing each other's strengths. But I think it's a very healthy, vibrant community for women to work within.
What I love is that I can compare when I started my career in the 70s in LA, there were no women to mentor me. I found men, and they were great. They were very supportive. Now I look today and I see the landscape totally changed, that there women are out there and they're willing to give time to mentor and to speak, to share their wisdom. And I'm so grateful that I've been able to witness that transformation, because if it stayed the way it was in the 70s, we would not be anywhere close to where we are with our women's programs today, and we would have women just wanting and thirsting for so much more.
Well, there's no one there at the time. There was no one to model the behavior. What does a female leader look like? A female decision maker? There just wasn't any. When my first real job, quote unquote, I remember moved from sort of a subordinate role into the first executive, if you will. It was pretty low on the totem pole, but I moved from one level to the next. And I remember walking to my new office and the CEO was giving me a tour of the office and showed me the little kitchenette. And he said, and now this is how you make coffee. And this is all. And I said, oh, I don't drink coffee. And it wasn't until that sentence was out of my mouth that I realized he was asking me to make the coffee.
Oh, no.
And because I had said, I don't drink coffee, there is no answer to that. He never made me make the coffee, but I've never drunk coffee since. So that's just an example that man was kind and generous and smart, but there was no frame. There wasn't a place for me to fit in yet. So that is, I think that's the difference of these 20-somethings now. There's a frame and there are women to help.
You know, that kind of fits in. Alicia emailed us a question, and you touched on this earlier, Pepper. She talks about how Hillary Clinton was often criticized as being too aggressive. And, you know, seldom is it that a man will get bad marks for being too aggressive. So she's wondering if you can talk a little bit about the changing stereotypes.
I think Hillary is a great example of that. We talked about the word likable. I found her very likable. I found her very, not necessarily about politics. I'm talking about the person. I found that she would be somebody I'd like to have dinner with. But there were so many people that were turned off by pushy, by aggressive. There's a difference between being a doormat and being available, by being pursuant and being cruddy. And I think women have had to make that dance for a long time. And I still contend that there are probably women that I work with who don't know who Betty Friedan is. They probably have to Google her right now. And that's okay. We want them to remember that. But I also think until a woman makes the same pay that a man makes, our work is not done. And I say our specifically, whether you have a Y chromosome or you don't. The work isn't done until people are paid equally. And so how do we do that? Everybody's boat rises. I said that before. If we all do better, everybody's boat rises.
But we're also going to be talking about some of the other side of that. We don't necessarily have to talk about the likability, but we can talk about how women handle change, executive presence, and what is it like at the boardroom or around other men, and how to be your authentic self. You know, Maggie Frye is going to really talk about authenticity. It's okay to be you. You know, it's okay for Hillary Clinton to be who she is, and that's okay. And so we're going to really instill some confidence in women when they go to a lot of these sessions, I think.
And I think what we're going to find, too, the summit is a wonderful summation in one day of what the Women's Initiative encompasses 365 days of the year. And I just wanted to touch on, we have a peer-to-peer roundtable program, and I'm involved in that as a peer of six other women, and it does give you the opportunity to close the door and practice on one another, maybe some of those authentic messages that you want to share about your business. And how does that sound, ladies? So you're almost each other's CEOs and advisors, but in a confidential setting. We also have, I mentioned the mentor-mentee program. Of course, that's a confidential relationship between the mentor and the mentee. The professional series I mentioned, the annual breakfast is a good time to come together, but the connect hours, those happen monthly. So it's a very nice social way that we try to go to one of our chamber members' businesses, restaurants. This next one coming up is going to be at the museum in DeVue Park. Why I can't come up with the name.
Beringer Crawford.
Beringer Crawford Museum. So, and then we have a golf outing. I personally love golf. And sometimes when it comes down to, we say, where are women, where are men, where are mentors, so much business can occur on the golf course. So we have a nine-hole scramble that can become just a great way, and it is only for women.
It's great networking, isn't it?
It truly is.
Yes, yeah.
When you're trapped in a golf cart, for about 4 hours with someone, you get to know their character a little too, whether you actually want to do business with them. But the Women's Initiative has really come together. And Laura, thank you for your leadership. And I have to shout out to Debbie Simpson. She's my mentor and also one of the founders of Women's Initiative, owner of Multicraft Printing. Just such great leadership that we get. And it is supported by Brent Cooper and Gene Kirshner, wonderful men in our organization as well. So
and
certainly.
I think, too, that when you talk about, when you list what is happening and the offerings that are available through the Chamber and the Women's Initiative, this didn't exist. I mean, someone thought of it. So the women got together and knew that it was needed and filled the void and are doing it in their spare time. So that's a commitment. That is somebody taking it, hey, this isn't just something I'm filling my resume with. This is something that's giving back to the community, helping somebody up that maybe I would have welcomed when I was younger. That's, to me, is why I wanted to be part of the program, because I saw that there was value to it and how much those people who are attending will take away from it.
I'd like to get to Jeannie's phone call. We've only got about a minute left in this segment. So, Jeannie, hi. If you could make it quick, please. Sorry, we're right at the end of the segment, but go right ahead.
Could you guys please address the segment that I haven't heard about, which is the older worker that maybe has been downsized from a company and now doesn't really have anywhere to turn. They already have a lot of experience, but not necessarily in an industry that they're trying to get into, i.e. they could use some mentoring as well, but they may have 20 or 30 years of experience already.
Okay.
Yeah, we would love to address that with the Women's Initiative. Thank you for bringing that up. We don't hear that too often. Hope you can come to the conference and network, because that's really going to get you some business cards and some leads. You got a whole day to talk to folks, and I'm hoping that you'll connect with us.
What's the date for the summit, Laura?
It is September 19th. It's from 7:30 in the morning till 4:15 in the afternoon, and it's only $159.
At the okay. Northern Kentucky Convention Center.
Okay. And a website for more information?
You can go to nkychamber.com.
And we have a link to that at wvxu.org as well. And Pepper and Shelley and Laura, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you for having
thank
us.
You.
Northern Kentucky Chamber Women's Initiative Summit Chair Laura Cook Krager, owner and president of Communications Project Partner, Vice Chair Shelley Funky Frommeyer, a financial advisor with Waddell & Reed, and Veer Communications Counselor Pepper Peel, one of the presenters at this year's summit.